Well, good morning, girls. Are you all rested after yesterday? Well, we'll get started a little bit early. We've got a lot of things we want to cover this morning, and we're going to have, at the end of my little sharing, we're going to have what you call a boomerang. Maybe you've never had one of those. But any of you that will come up and share one thing that you learned this weekend, one thought, one blessing, one splash of joy, just one thing, I will give you a free autograph book. Now, usually when we do this, we have more people lined up that want to come and talk. We don't have that much time, but I've got about 10 here for you. So you'll be thinking, when I get done, I'm stammering. When we get done, we're going to have you come up. And then as you see, I poured out my time to you, my energy, and everything that I know to you. And I'm going to get on a plane today and go back to California. And I won't get to hear all the comments and all the reports and read all the little evaluations. I won't really get to know who all got blessed. So this is my boomerang time when I've already told you, and then you're going to boomerang back to me and give me some part of your life that was blessed this weekend. Then we're doing something we didn't do except once yesterday. We had some books here, and any of you who want to get a book today, they'll be signed, or I'll sign them for $5 to give to someone, not for you, but this is your time to bless somebody else. I have a stack of letters like this that say, "Your book saved my life." And I think, wow, isn't that wonderful? I get such a blessing from knowing that. So today, if there's anybody that you know is hurting, that's going through a bad time, you invest that little $5 to them. The books are $10 at the bookstore plus tax, like $10.87 or something, so you're getting a good deal anyway. But if you want to get a book and give it to somebody and write them a note and say, as you have been watered, as you water someone else, like the verse says in Proverbs, you will be blessed. So this is your time to have a watering time. You're going to take something that has blessed you, and then you're going to share it with somebody else. We won't pray till the end because we don't have time right now. No. Lord, bless us all. In Jesus' name. I want to share some verses with you today that have been a real blessing to me. They're not verses that you probably ever heard preached about. I mean, they're very obscure verses. And so we're going to talk about some obscure verses. You know, God has hidden every precious thing in such a way that it is a reward to the diligent, a prize to the earnest, and a joy to the finder. You know, even the nut is hidden in a thorny case, and the pearl is buried in the ocean waves, and the gold is imprisoned in the mountains. And the gem is only found when it is cracked open. And the Word of God is like that. You have to dig sometimes to really find a lot of meaning. So these are obscure verses. You come in, girls. We're a little early today. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord." Now, see, I had many secret things in my life. I didn't understand why I lost two sons so early, why my other son disappeared. But that's a secret thing. And if you can take whatever it is in your life that you don't understand, some area that you're going through pain, some area that just doesn't seem to fit together, just doesn't make sense, and think about that verse, "The secret things belong to the Lord." And you don't have to know, and you may never know what it is, why God's reason is, but that's a secret thing that belongs to the Lord. And then Proverbs 11:21, "You can be very sure that God will rescue the children of the righteous." Now, if you've got a kid that's out there in a wayward lifestyle, or that is out doing things that you don't want, he's off on a detour, you get your life in order, get your priorities straight, get your marriage in order, and God will go after the prodigal. And like the verse says, you can be very sure that God will rescue the children of the godly, or of the righteous, whatever. So you get your life righteous, and God will go after the children. And then Isaiah 61:1 says, "Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Now, it's a one-size-fits-all. It doesn't jump up in the front or hike up in the back, too tight across the front. The garment of praise you can put on for the spirit of heaviness. There's a song that goes, "Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." So every time you think about that, that you've got this robe of righteousness and this robe of praise on you, and you can walk through this crummy old dirty world, and God gives you that fresh new garment of praise every day. And then Hebrews 12:12, "Take a new grip with your tired hands. Stand firm on your shaky legs." Isn't that a neat verse? Another version says, "Lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees." Now, this is a guilt-free living verse I want to give you. It's Psalms 32:1. See, Irwin Bombeck says that guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. But as a Christian, we can say this: what happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sin and God has cleared their record. So you don't have to go through life saying, oh, what did I do? I must have done something. My kids are terrible. Oh, what did I do? I had a broken marriage. Whatever. You don't have to do that. You can say, look, this is the verse that is the guilt-free verse. You know, God had Adam, and he was the perfect parent. And look at the mess he had with Adam. So who do you think you are that you cannot have any problems with your family? So I want you to, if there's one verse I think is really important, it's Psalm 32:1. And then Jeremiah 31:17. There is hope for the future, says the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own borders. Isn't that wonderful? There is hope for you. As a Christian, we have hope. We're the only ones that have hope. And then 2 Timothy 1:15. This is about a man named Onesiphorus. His name sounds like a disease. He's only mentioned once in the Bible, and it says, his visits revived me like a breath of fresh air. He came often to refresh me while I was in prison. Now, I was doing a study about obscure people sometime back in the Bible, and this man is only mentioned one time. And then I happened to hear Chuck Swindoll, who just lives about a mile from us, but I heard him on the radio talking about this verse, and he called him Onesiphorus. And no, he called him Epaphroditus. The name was, I can hardly say all. Anyway, he called him Epaphroditus. And I thought, well, that's wrong. I did a whole little study on these obscure men, and this man, Onesiphorus, is only mentioned one time, and he called him the wrong name. So I wrote him a letter. I didn't want to see him, but I wrote him a little letter. And I said, I just heard your tape, and you did a whole tape, and you used that verse, and you called him Epaphroditus. Imagine the nerve of me to do that. But anyway, he wrote me back, and he said, Barb, you're right. Those guys are so obscure, it's easy to get them mixed up. So anyway, Onesiphorus is mentioned one time, and he came to refresh Paul in prison. How I would like to be known as a refresher. As I leave here and as I go to meet the Lord, I hope my kids and my husband remember that I came to be a refresher to the family, to enliven and to encourage and to be like a breath of fresh air. And then Proverbs 13:12 is a fabulous verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. See, I lived in that hope deferred time for 11 years. I was like a parenthesis. There was no hope, no light, no nothing. But then God knocked out that, and when you once have your dreams come true, then there is life and joy. Maybe some of you are going through that hope deferred time when you think it's never going to work, your kid's never going to come home, your husband's never going to get saved, you know, whatever it is. And you're living in that hope deferred, but it is like a parenthesis. It isn't forever. It didn't come to stay. It's going to pass. And then Proverbs 11:25, as we refresh others, we ourselves are refreshed. By watering others, we ourselves are watered. And you're going to have a chance to do that this morning, because as you get a book, and not for you, but to give to someone else who needs to be watered, who needs to be encouraged, who needs that breath of fresh air, then you are all going to be little Onesiphoruses. Does sound like a disease, doesn't it? But anyway, as you water it and you say, I got this for you because I think you need this. I think this will bless you. I'm going to water your life today. And as you do that, you are going to be blessed. Then I like Psalms 84:5-6. Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who want above all else to follow his steps. And they walk through the valley of weeping. It will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after the rains. And then Psalm 107:35 says, he turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs. And then the reason we wrote this book, Stick a Geranium in Your Hat and Be Happy. See, life isn't what you want, but it's what you got. So you might as well stick a geranium in your hat and be happy. And the verse that we use for that is Job 8:21. He will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of praise. So I never heard of that verse. I've read the Bible before a couple times. Well, once for sure sometime, but I never heard of that verse. And then when I was going to do this book, someone pointed out to me that he will fill your mouth with laughter. He wants us to be joyous people. He wants us to be a laughing people. And our lips will have shouts of praise. Ezekiel 34:8. I will rescue my sheep from all the places they are scattered on a dark and gloomy day. Isn't that a fabulous verse? I don't want to take too much time with this, but I was telling you it was about a boy named Greg. It's in one of the books. He was going to kill himself, and his mother called me and told me she got a tape from him that he said, this will be the last time you hear from me. I'm going to take my life. He had been homosexual, and he had AIDS. And she told me where he lived, and I went over there to his house to find him, and I found this boy sitting in this dark room all by himself, alone. He'd been there a week, hadn't eaten for a week, and he was going to take his life that day. And when I went in and found him, and Bill came over, and he didn't have a blanket, he didn't have any food, he didn't have anything, he didn't have any money. We went out and got him some groceries and things to take care of him, and the whole story is in the book, so I won't go into it. But anyway, that was the verse that was most important on a dark and gloomy day. And now that young man is singing, beautiful voice. He sings. He's on several Christian programs. He still is positive for AIDS, but he knows that God loves him. And on a dark and gloomy day, the day he planned to take his life, God sent someone to tell him that God still loves him. He hadn't forsaken him. He still loves him. And he went after him, even on a dark and gloomy day, this little sheep. And one of the best verses that I like is Psalm 90:10. The Revised Version says, "The years of our life are 70, yet their span is but toil and trouble." Boy, we know that. "But they are soon gone, and we fly away." See, that's why I told you about rapture practice. I think we should go out in the backyard and practice for the rapture. Because one of these days, we're going to fly away. And as I told some of you yesterday, you know, when you speak several times, you forget what you say. But somebody wrote me a letter, and they said, "Awaiting his shout." What a wonderful closure, "awaiting his shout." And the other letter I got lately said, "Until he comes or I go." I just love that. I can get excited just even saying that because I'm waiting for him to come. If he doesn't come, I'm going to go. So either way, it's going to work for me. These are all hidden treasures that I think are wonderful for us as Christians. We have this endless hope. And then Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." That's us. We've all been brokenhearted. We've all had broken dreams. But the Lord is close to us. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, We are to take captive every thought and bring it obedient to Christ. Have you ever tried to bring your thoughts into captivity? You're getting ready for communion service and everything is real worshipful, and all of a sudden some thought goes through and you think, "Oh, where'd that come from?" It's hard to bring your thoughts into captivity, but that's why I believe in Philippians 4:8, to think on things that are good and pure and lovely. And pretty soon, as you begin to do that, all the dark things will either go away, evaporate, or go far down, and you'll be able to always to look for the good, to think on things that are good and pure. And I always add funny in there. I think the Lord will forgive me for that. But it's so important to be able to think on things that are good and pure and have fun and have this joy, this bubbling up of the Holy Spirit within you. Psalm 145:14, "The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down." I don't know how many times you fall. I fall every day. But Lord is right there to pick you up. And you haven't messed up, so you do fall. You make a mistake. You do something wrong. You goof it up. But he's right there to lift you up, and he never forsakes us. He never negates you. He never says, "Off to hell with you. You make too many mistakes." He's right there to love you and pick you up and wrap you up in his blanket. Proverbs 15:13, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." And then Ecclesiastes 9:7-9 says, "Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil." Remember I told you about the oil I put in my hair. So see, that's my verse right there. And then Ecclesiastes 12:10 says, "Two are better than one, for if one falls, one will lift up his companion." Isn't that wonderful to know? If you've got a good Christian friend you can talk to and share and let out some of your feelings. You know, there's three things that will really help you get through a depression and through a dark time. One is called tears, one is called time. The other one is talking. I nearly forgot that. So if you're going through a difficult time, find someone you can talk to and open up and ventilate and let those feelings out. And then be able to cry about it. It's all right to cry. Even though you're a Christian, you're going through this. It's all right to say, "Oh, I hurt. I'm just hurting." Because we do hurt. We have feelings and emotions. And then time. Those three things will help. While I was here, I called a friend of mine in Florida who recently lost her son. He died of AIDS. And she hasn't been able to talk to anybody about it. And I gave her the names of three other parents who have children that are dying with AIDS. And I said, "If you just call them," she says, "Oh, I can't talk. As soon as I talk, I cry." Well, good. Cry about it. Ventilate it. Let them know you're hurting too. It hasn't been very long, and it takes more than a year to get over a death sometimes. And so she says, "Oh, I never thought of that." She says, "I was afraid I wasn't ready to help anybody because I'm still crying." Well, that's a time to help somebody when you're crying and you need somebody else to minister to you. And I think tears are just such a wonderful opportunity to be able for God to use that in our lives. See, that covers most of the obscure verses that I wanted to cover. And now I'm going to do something that I love to do. This is my time. We're going to have this boomerang time. I have a couple questions to answer, but they're simple because I don't know any answers anyway. And then I'm going to have you a chance to come up here, and I'll give you a book, and I want you to share one thing, one splash of joy that's helped you this week. I don't have the questions written down, and I have them packed away in my grip, but I read them over, and one of them was, about my son Barney. I told you last night, she must have written it before I talked last night. He's fine, he's married, got two little girls, and he's just doing fine. My other son Larry works for the Los Angeles court. He's got a good job. He works with some, he's a judicial assistant, and he's also in law school, and he's doing fine. He helps me a lot with the ministry. If I need a verse, for example, on encouragement, he's got a Prodigy computer, and I can call him and say, I need to know this and this, and he'll just, wow, he calls me back, and he's got it all. So he's such a help to me in the ministry as far as that. And then if I get a lot of letters from young men who are going through confusion about their sexual identity, he'll help to answer them and talk to them. See, I don't think anybody would choose to be homosexual because there's so much pain in it and so much rejection, and there's, I don't think anybody would choose this, but when it happens, we don't understand why. We don't know why this happens, except that we're living in a broken world. And I've met so many darling young men that are talented and gifted and compassionate and caring, and they're usually active in churches. I was with about 300 of them last week in Nashville. They all work in churches. They're all under, you know, they're all underground or in the closet, whatever, but they all have jobs working in churches and youth leaders, and they're just really wonderful guys, but they're going through this struggle. See, I didn't know what orientation was when I was younger. I mean, orientation was when you learn how to eat properly. That's what I thought. And the sexual orientation, I never heard that. But I have learned now that there's many people who don't want to feel this way, but they have these feelings. And God has to give them the grace to grow, outgrow this and live with these until God changes their heart. Now, in my son's case, he was off doing his thing for 11 years. Disowned us, changed his name, never wanted to see us again. And I couldn't do anything for him except pray for him and love him. And so I tell you, if you have a child that's in rebellion, maybe not that kind, but whatever, you love them and you pray for them. Because only God can take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. You can't change anybody. You can't even change yourself. So you have to say, God, he's yours. You wrap him up in a little package and present him to God and say, this is my child I've loved and prayed for. And you have to work in his life because I can't. Now, you may be dead by the time God answers the prayer. I thought I would be dead anyway. I would kill myself. But anyway, God will go after the prodigal, and he will. If you've taught your child, he has scripture built into his heart, a reservoir that will always come back. My son told me he used to wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning when he was in the gay life, and he'd think about the entrance of thy words bringeth light, which is one of the verses that he learned. And he said, where is the light? There's no light in my life. It's all dark. There's no light. And those were convicting to him. And so when he finally felt so convicted of his life, he took all the stuff to the fireplace and he burned it. And when it was burning, he was also into some occultic things. I didn't even know about that. So when he burned all that, that's when he felt completely released that he and his relationship to the Lord were right. Now, whether he marries or has, I don't know. Marriage is not a sign of healing, you know, we know that. And there is a gift of celibacy. Nobody wants it, but you know, there is a gift of celibacy. But I know, I just prayed that he'd be right with God. That's all I prayed. I didn't pray he'd be a missionary, he'd be a preacher. I just prayed that his heart would be soft towards God, and it is. And so my prayers were answered. Now, what God does with him from now on is not my problem. I mean, as long as he stays, his heart is right with God and tender and contrite, that is the answer to my prayer. So don't pray that your kid has to be this or has to be that. Just pray that his heart will be right towards God. And that's how God answered our prayer. And there's been such a healing there. And when I see how God took all the fractures of my life and put them together. See, the word restore means to pop back in place. And he has popped back in place for me, all these fractures, and he's caused so much healing. Now, tomorrow, things can change. I mean, we can have other problems come in the next. That's okay. It doesn't matter whatever comes, because I can say, whatever, Lord. I don't know whether I was going to tell you this or not, and then I talked to Diane on the way here. But 10 days ago, I had a stroke. I don't know if you know what a TIA is, but I was speaking in Nashville, and all of a sudden, I couldn't remember where I was. I was talking about my son, Tim, and I just couldn't remember something. And I can remember going back and forth, and then Bill said he didn't notice it, but I did. And then I got home and to the hotel, and I said, something's the matter. My hand is like a paw. It doesn't move. And he said, oh, you've probably been carrying too much luggage. Men just minimize everything, you know. And I said, yeah, but I can't even brush my teeth. I can't even, you know, something is wrong. And he said, well, just exercise it a little, shake it a little. Well, anyway, so I got home to California, and I knew something was wrong because I couldn't type. I couldn't use my hand to type. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, well, you've had a stroke. I said, stroke? I feel fine. But I did get a little mixed up when I was telling my story. But I thought, when you tell it so many times, it's a wonder you don't even remember it yourself. So he said, well, you had a TIA, a transient ischemic attack. It's a small stroke, and you're not going anywhere. For 6 months, you were going to stay home, take blood thinner, do this. And I said, well, I can't. I've got to go to Oklahoma next week. you're not going. You're not going to Oklahoma. And I said, next week I've got to go to Colorado. I've got to go. These women have paid tickets, and I'm the only speaker next week. And then the next week I've got to go to Praise Gathering because, you know, I've got to go. I've got my tickets. You're not going. So I went home and thought, well, he's not even a Christian. He's read my book. How does he know what God can do? And so I said, well, now, God, you know what's my heart. You know what the stroke is. You know what's in my hand. And I've got to go. I mean, I really feel a burden. This is my burden. And if I have a stroke on the way, just so I'll get through it. Just so Bill knows what to do, what number to call or something. And so a few days went by, and I went in and had a little therapy. All they do is just wiggle around your fingers. But now you see, the fingers are working. Good. I can pick up a pencil, which I couldn't do before. I probably could type if I was near a machine. But anyway, God has done that. And so when I get home, I'm going to call him tonight and say, well, see, ha-ha. But, you know, we don't know what can happen. We don't know. I mean, I never thought 2 weeks ago this would happen. But now, when God's got a plan for you, no matter what happens, if you have an accident, it's God's going to let nothing happen to your life he doesn't know about. If I have a stroke, I just hope it's a big one and I go right to glory. I don't want to sit around drooling in a restroom or something. I want to have the big one and go because I'm ready to go. I mean, I've got my will made up. I'm giving my body to UCLA. And so I'm ready to go. I'm sure they're going to be glad to get this body. But, you know, the attitude I have is no matter what happens, I just want to be, I would like to have to be the big one and ready to go. And when you live in that excited time that no matter what happens, God is right there, and he's going to take you and wrap you in that comfort blanket of love. I wasn't even going to tell you that. I don't want any pity or anything. I don't need pity because my arm's all working. I work and everything. And but I just wanted to remind you of how no matter what happens, when you think you got it together, and I think I had it together. I mean, everything works. The ministry's going good. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. But isn't it good we don't know? He holds a veil across our way. So we don't know what tomorrow happens. And now we're going to have a fun time. And I want Lois to come up. Lois, where are Lois? Okay. And would you bring me that prop back there that has a little angel? I meant to bring it up and I forgot. That verse about, I'll let her explain it. She's got a little joy shelf. And she brought me some things which I'd love to steal from her. From her little joy shelf. I have a joy room. Thank you very much. And she has a joy shelf. And so you come and share your joy shelf. And I'll give you a free book. Okay.
This right here, My son sent me. He worked at Disneyland this summer, and it's the child in the palm of God's hand. And it says, I shall never forget thee. I have graven thine image upon the palm of mine hand. Isaiah 49:16. And he asked me not to burn this one.
Oh, isn't that darling?
And then this, my technician at work made me. I've written a few prayer songs, and so the closed eyes and the joyful mouth, and it sits on my shelf. And I thought, you asked me for this.
Oh.
You take this.
Well, I'm going to take yours, but
no,
I will.
You take it. You take it.
Who better than to give it to the joy lady? I didn't think of it.
And then this is to remember that God always keeps his promises. It's Noah's Ark. I don't know if you can see it. My neighbor made that for me. And then this one my youngest son gave me, and he thinks I'm a swan.
Not an ugly duckling, but a swan. Isn't that darling?
And then this one a friend gave me. She thought I was an angel, but I keep it on my shelf to remind me that I can be an angel unaware.
Your shelf is going to be full.
And then this one, I spent a year in Zaire when I was 20, and God's given me a heart for missions, and I work with internationals. And this is to remind me that God loves the whole world, not just us. And that's all I brought.
Now you tell us one thing that you learned this week when you get the book.
Well, it wasn't... I've read all your books, and I've made them a part of me, okay? But I think the thing the Lord really worked with me in is that I'm busier than I need to be. I need to be giving more time, and on Saturdays, to my one child, at least, that's still home for the year. He's a senior in high school. And I thought, I really need to be spending more time making some memories this last year, letting him know how special he is to me.
purple too. That's your daughter. You're a daughter of the King.
God bless you. Good.
Let's see. I put that.
I want that.
That's mine.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Good. Now this is my boomerang time. So a couple of others, you want to come up? Good. 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 Oh, lining up for sure. Come on.
Something that was reemphasized to me is no matter what happens, we don't need to fight the battles, that the battle is the Lord's. And that's something that really helped me out.
Good. Is this your first time to come to a retreat like this? Or?
No, I've been to quite a few.
Good. Well, God bless you. Thank you for sharing. Hi.
Hi. I think just seeing you as a trophy of God's grace with all you've been through, and I felt inspired to write a book, The Lady That Nothing Has Ever Happened To. And
It will.
But I think when you said that openness is to wholeness as secretiveness is to sickness, that I've had a few hurtful things happen lately that I could, and I'm an open person and I almost insist that everyone else be, but that doesn't always work. But I felt myself pulling in a little bit, and Proverbs 18:1 says that a man who separates himself seeks his own desire, and I see that as a seeking the desire to preserve ourselves and protect ourselves when we start to separate ourselves. And so that was just an encouragement for me to open. And
are you from this church?
No. Well, no.
Have you been a Christian very long?
Since 1974. I was saved at this church when Bailey Smith was the pastor, and almost 20 years I've been a Christian. And I would like to see if, as far as boomerang, the blessing that you've been to us, if you would let us join in agreement prayer about this recent health situation.
Stroke is what it is. Stroke.
Okay. And just to pray for you and protection against that.
We're going to do it right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus on behalf of our sister. And I just thank you for her and that she truly is a trophy. And God, I ask you just to touch her body. Bring her body into agreement with everything that you have for her, Lord. And I pray that the blood would just flow properly and there would not be a problem. Just no more strokes, Lord. And I just feel like we need her to be here with us. I don't know exactly what you have planned for her life, but I ask in the name of Jesus that you would restore her to perfect health. And God, give her rest and wisdom about her schedule. And I thank you for being Jehovah Rapha in our life.
Thank you.
Amen.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be seeing that Bailey Smith in a few. I'm going to go to his church in a few.
Good.
So I'll tell him that I met you.
Kathy Long.
Kathy. Good.
Okay.
God bless
you.
Hi. How are you?
I just... Can you... That I'm just so encouraged by a woman that has went through all that she has and the joy that she has.
Isn't that wonderful?
I mean, I get depressed when I'm broke, you know. And secondly, just to spread that joy, you know, to try to achieve where she is, where you can have that joy, but then also to spread it with your friends.
Good. And now you spread this with your friends,
thank
okay?
You. Thank you.
Sweetheart. Hi. Good. You know, it don't have to be something you learn from me.
Well,
whatever you learn from anybody.
It is.
Oh, good. This is not to build my ego.
Room? Okay. And this morning we were sharing about Barbara around the tables. We were talking, you know, I said, she kind of reminds me of Manly Beasley. I don't know how many of you used to know him. And he had so many illnesses and suffered so much and wrote many books and helped so many people with his walk of faith. And Barbara has had a walk of faith. We all do, but hers has been more extreme than many of us. And we were just saying, you know, there are some who have to step out on a greater, bigger step than the rest of us. And because they do, we are encouraged. And I know Manly's testimony has encouraged my life, and Barbara, yours has, and I really thank you for that. God does keep his promises, and he has done that in my life. I know so many of you could say the same thing. I think we'll spend all time in glory just telling our story of what God's done. One of the scriptures that's real special to me right now is that the mind of a man plans his way, and the Lord directs his steps. We have big plans, but God's working in the little details of life, and he brings them about.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay, come along. Okay. Well, before this weekend, I realized how consumed I've been with a broken marriage and a very rebellious child that has gone on just forever and ever. And you've showed me the humor in all of that.
Good.
And you've showed me that instead of living with what if I had done this, and surely I could have done something to make it better and these people happier, and now since that they're gone from my home and I'm by myself, that this isn't the end. I thought, well, this is it. I really messed the whole thing up.
Too bad.
And you've showed me I haven't. There's so much more. And you've showed me the joy in all those sorrows, and I'm so grateful.
Well,
so
good.
Grateful.
Joy comes in the morning, you know. Here you go.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Hi.
I just wanted to say I have spent the last few months, I know back in school and through college, tests are the one thing that I detest. I panic at the thoughts of them. But God has his way of giving us tests, and he's been giving me some of those recently with a son who's been rebellious, made some decisions that he's now having to live with. And family members, we've lost every family member except my mother. And I've spent the last 5 months caring for an uncle who was dying with cancer that we lost last week. And my car broke down. I've missed 3 weeks of church. And I thought, Lord, you know, missing church is bad enough. I can watch it on TV if I have to. I still don't have the fellowship. But if I have to miss this conference, that's it. You know, that's just the icing on the cake. And I know several months ago, Gayla said, you know, somebody has already paid a scholarship for you. And I was just so blessed before anybody was even buying tickets. And I was so blessed. And I was so discouraged and so tired, you know, just exhausted physically, emotionally. Somebody called Thursday morning and said, we can come pick you up. I have to pick someone up at the airport. I'll be there to pick you up. And I was so excited. So I got to come. And the first person I heard that night was this funny lady who restored for me my joy and gave me my sense of humor back.
So glad
you know, sometimes we're just tired and we need a break. And I got that this week.
Good.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hope you get that car fixed soon. Or you'll be coming on skates. Okay. Linda.
Linda, yes. Uh-huh. I wanted to tell you that you're the reason that I'm here. That 2 years ago in July, my will, doing it my way, put me finally on the bottom. And I was vegetating, going from my bed to my divan, back to my bed. And I read your book, and that was the beginning of my recovery process. I found God through a 12-step program.
Oh, good.
But I really am grateful to you for your ministry. And
thank you. Well, great.
Praise the Lord.
See what a blessing it is to hear the people that you're reaching. This is my time of filling my heart. This is my encouragement. Okay, purple again. See? Daughter of the King.
That's right. I had two things that I'm taking back with me. I'm from Tulsa, and I'm taking two things back. On Thursday night, when I first went back to the book table, there in amongst all of Barbara's books were these little things. Did you see them if you were back there Thursday night? There were splashes of joy, and someone said, would you like some splashes of joy? And she put it in my hand, and I thought, I'm a visual person. I thought, that is so cool. And I put them in my pocket, and I went home, and I took off what I was wearing that night, or went back to the motel, and I thought, that's great. I can carry this with me. There's got to be people I'm going to meet tomorrow that are going to need a splash of joy. Went to the restaurant in the morning, and there it was when I pulled out my purse. My reminder again that I'm that splash of joy to these people. They may not get another thing. And the other thing I'm taking away, Emily gave me last night.
Good.
I'm from Scotland. I know about tea parties. I did tea parties all my life. I came to the States 25 years ago when I married an American GI. And I forgot about tea parties. 6 months ago, God called me to a church in Tulsa to come and serve as the associate pastor. It's very hard to make friendships when you move to a new church. You know that. Try being on staff. It's even harder. There's like this little barrier, you know. And it's okay when you're teaching Bible studies and stuff. And I'm going, Lord, I want to take something back to our women. So I'm taking Splashes of Joy. Lord, I want to take them something special. So I'm taking them me just like I am. I want them to get to know just who I am as a woman. And I'm taking back tea parties. I'm going to start inviting some of the women in the church that I don't know. One day a week, I'm going to set aside the afternoon, and I'm going to put on the best tea parties. You see, they won't know any different. They'll think I'll tell them it's tradition. What do they know? And I'll get them to come to my house. And that way, the Lord has given me a tool to get to know these women as women and let them know me as a woman. Because I need friends. It's a lonely place to be when you move, and we've left our family. Kids in Nashville and kids in Washington, D.C. And just my husband and I, we're empty nesters and we're loving it. But I need friends. I need somebody just a girlfriend, like Babby said last night. Girlfriend, I need one of those so badly. I'm going to find a whole bunch of them through tea parties and through sharing my splashes of joy. Thank you.
Here's the dream. It should be your prayer life.
God bless you.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Isn't this a fun time? I just love this. This is the best part of the whole conference. Okay.
When I come to things like this, the Lord invariably shows me a theme, and that's a polite way of saying He's telling me more than once what He wants me to get. And what I have heard from several speakers is that when God puts a desire in your heart, and it's not your desire that you're putting there, when God puts a desire in your heart, He provides a plan to accomplish that. And Mamie has said that, and Babby sang a song about it, and you mentioned it a while ago, and I'm just glad to remember that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
God bless you, Janet.
Hi.
I just want to give you a big hug.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
And I want to be a commercial today.
I see.
I have read her book, Count It All Joy, about three times, I think. And if you haven't read that book, to me, it's one of the best ones.
Good.
Because she tells you what it is to really go through suffering. And it's not natural to praise God whenever you're hurting so bad you can't stand it. But praise God for your encouragement.
Thank you very much. You have to praise God in the hardest times, and that's put on the garment of praise.
That's
see, one
right.
size fits
thank
all.
Thank you. And I just thank the Lord for you and for what you've done and how He's used you in my life.
Good. Thank you. They say one size fits all. I say all of what, you know? Okay.
I wanted to share about my mother-in-law. She was here this week, not at the conference. And she has brought me great joy. Since she lives in Maryland, we're military. That's why we're here. And she came to visit us. Well, just a brief background. My father-in-law died of cancer, and she cared for him 4 years in her home until his death. And she, to me, is... just a walking example of joy in a hard time, because she and I were talking about ugly toenails at Subway, and she was telling me about her husband's toenails and how she would clean them up and stuff, and she said, Sandy, I got 1 foot cleaned up before his death. I never got to finish the last one, and then she started crying. And then it just was such an example to me how to share intimately the pain that she was going through and not knowing how that feels for me. I haven't suffered through anything great yet in my life. And I'm just so thankful that she's being a scriptural mother-in-law, teaching the younger how to love their husbands. And she's a great joy to me in that way.
Thank you for sharing.
It's good to have you up here.
Okay. I have a friend in California that sent me Sticker Geranium in Your Hat last year, and I laughed through the whole book, and it's the first time I'd laughed in probably months. I've been going through a pretty hard time with my husband. And I got that book, and I went to the bookstore, and I started looking. Is there more of these books by Barbara Johnson? And then I found the next book, The Cesspools. And then I found the next book, Pack Up Your Gloomies. I'm just waiting for the next one to come out, but it's not going to be out till next year. There was something in Pack Up Gloomies that really helped me a lot, and it's just one of her little, I don't know what you call them, gloomy busters is what she called them in this one. And it was just really good for me. It says, "You're struggling. I see it. I feel it. I hurt for you. But I must tell you, dear friend, I believe with all my heart that you will emerge somehow wiser, stronger, and more aware. Hold on to that thought. Tuck it away in the corner of your heart until the hurt melts enough for the learning to have meaning." And it said a lot to me in that I need to learn through this situation. And I just thank Barbara for helping me to laugh a lot.
Good.
Thank you.
God bless you. There you go.
Thank you.
Well, all I want to say is that the two testimonials that were given over the past couple of days really hit home with me, because I've been married to my husband for 9 years. 2 years ago, my marriage just about broke apart because God was not in our lives. We had gotten married in a church, and that was it. We never went to church or anything. 2 years ago, God grabbed a hold of my shirt collar and yanked me very hard. We were wondering what happened to our marriage, and we realized, first thing, God was not in our lives. We found a church home. We never had that many friends, and now we've got wonderful friends.
Wonderful? That's what this is about.
We also have not been able to conceive children. That 3 months ago, placed in my arms was a little baby boy that we are in the process of adopting.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Wonderful.
And like Barbara said, that when you let the words come into your heart, there will be a light. And over the past 2 years, God has given me a light.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. God bless you. What are you going to name the baby?
His name is Brett Charles.
Oh, that's good. God bless you. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I can't believe I'm up here. I'm a very private person.
So am I.
And my husband is a minister, so we don't have any problems. Until about 2 years ago, our son came to his aunt and told her that he was gay. And someone said, "Why did he go to her?" And I said, "Because then he knew he don't have to tell that story one time, that she would take care of it." Someone gave me one of Barbara's books, "Where Does a Mother Go to Resign?" And through the last 2 years, I have read that book until it's falling apart, and I loaned it to a friend about a month ago, and she hasn't given it back. Mm-hmm. But because of your books, I've been able to come through this. And I know that, yes, he's in the gay lifestyle now, but he's not going to stay there because the Lord told me he wasn't.
Bless your heart. Are you on my newsletter list?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not,
no.
You get my newsletter. Write
okay.
to me, and I'll send it
okay.
to you.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. I think one of the big things I've learned is I get too busy with things and don't take time, you know, to laugh and maybe spend the time with my family and stuff like I should.
Now you're going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to work on it.
Good. Thank you. So much. Are you from this church?
No.
No?
I work from Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. That's not this church, huh?
Okay. Hi, I just want to say that I've really enjoyed being at this conference. I work for a large pharmaceutical company, and I've been using these books as for planting seeds.
Good.
And I, about 2 years ago, went through the death of a daughter and a brother, and my house burned, and all those kind of things, and yet I had joy. And God can get you through anything. I'm convinced of that. He will give you the joy and the peace. So it's great meeting you.
Thank you. Glad you can be here. Mm-hmm. All coming from many diverse backgrounds, as you can tell. A lot of women crying out there. This is happy time. You're supposed to be rejoicing. Hi.
Hi.
Anne.
Mm-hmm. You said to think of a splash of joy, and I immediately thought of my children, because often they say little things that are just splashes for me. And one time, I wanted to share one little thing. My three-year-old son, I brought him a little gift home from a garage sale, a little cheap toy. He said, "Mom, how much did that cost?" Just like his dad. I said, "Well, it was about 25 cents. He said, $40? In perfect imitation of his father. And it just, I share that later with his dad, and now he'll sometimes gripe about how much I spend on something, and I'll say, $40? And it helps me to laugh at some of those trying
God bless
things.
You, honey.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, is that up to that one? She's so good. She's been the best shadow you could believe. Okay.
this whole conference has just brought me joy. I have been the most unjoyful person the last year, and my house is the pits. And after I scrape it down, I can do it in 15 minutes. And you talked last night about your husband stapling his socks together.
Yeah.
Mine puts safety pins. He takes them off and puts safety pins in them. And woe be to anybody that takes those safety pins out of his socks. But I've learned to laugh about it out of this conference.
Oh, good. Here you go. Here you go.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to give you a hug there. Okay. If any of you ever put socks in the washer and they come out even very often, let me know, because I might never do. I mean, once in a while, that's a big deal when they match, you know?
Hi, I'm Sherry Wood, and I'm from First Southern. I'm the preschool director, and I haven't laughed a whole lot the last year. I have four children, and getting ready to have my fifth one away homeschool, and I've had a lot of pressure, and I have laughed more in the last 3 days than I've laughed in the past 3 years.
God, that's
so
helpful.
I have appreciated, yes.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. Oh, you got a minute. That's my warning. Okay.
Yeah. I give my own warning, so I have to get out of here quick. I just wanted to tell you that I've gotten to be Barbara's shadow for since
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. It just seems like a breath. But I have witnessed her be a reservoir of joy. You'd never think she had a problem the way her mind is trained to look for joy. It's been such a good example for me, and I didn't realize how much joy I miss. Life gets so serious and so everyday and so mundane, and you've got that list and you've got to keep marking off and get this much accomplished, and we forget to look for joy. So this week has been a reminder that we need to look for joy and how much joy God has all around us. And so we just thank you, Barbara, for being our reservoir.
Thank
joy.
You. God bless you. We're going to quit in a minute, but there's Kathy. Kathy, did you skip out? Kathy, the one that had... Where's Kathy? Get a minute. Come up here for a minute. She has been such a splash of joy to me. I met her the very first day at that wonderful tea. She sat down and she said, oh, I didn't know I was going to sit with you. So she's been such a blessing. I just wanted to share a couple minutes. If you're late, well, blame it on me.
Okay.
Something. Anything you want to say, but she's just look at her. She's joyful. Her eyes are so twinkly and the Lord's so close.
I've been blessed in this conference from the fact that before I came, my husband told me that he was sick and tired of some of my attitudes, and that they were real defeatist, and I was just really being negative around in my family and toward my husband, and I didn't like to hear that, but it was the truth, and I had to look at it. And so when God reveals things to you like that, you know that God's planning on doing something about it. And so by being here at this conference, I have realized from all of these ladies how I can look for joy in my life. And just like I was telling Barbara this morning, I was in the tub and I was sitting there going, thank you, God, for washing away my sins. And and then I went over and I put my contacts in. I said, thank you, Lord. I was once blind, but now I see.
Oh, thank you.
So, and now I got me a B. Because I'm going to start being the best I can every day, and I'm going to start really believing in my husband. And I too have a prodigal daughter right now, and I bought her a bee, which I'm going to take and give to her for her to be the best that she can be. And then I can hardly wait to make a love basket for my husband. So anyone who wants to keep my 2.5-year-old can volunteer while I go be with my husband.
Thanks. You get a book back there. This one's messed up. Get a new one back
there. Thank you.
Okay. Well, see, wasn't that more fun than just hearing me talk for another 15 minutes? I'd much rather have the boomerang and have the effect. And I go away and I think of all the people who have shared that have been up here from Missouri or wherever they're from. Doesn't make any difference. But the Lord has blessed you this weekend. Let's all stand up and let's join hands. This is the last, this is our last thing. Join hands and let's sing Alleluia, just one of us together. It's a worshipful song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Thank you, Jesus. 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 Our Father, we're thankful for these women today. We're thankful that you've been here for this weekend. We're thankful that you've instilled in them this joy of the Lord that only can come from you. We just pray that as they finish the rest of this conference and the rest of the week, they would take that beautiful bubble of joy that you can give us that just ever vests out of us, that just continually bubbles up. And we just pray that as they go home, they would have that beautiful searching for joy that you can give, not happiness, but for the deep joy of the Lord. We're thankful for everyone here and how they have contributed to make this a wonderful time for me and a wonderful time for the Lord that he's been able to feel. We've been able to feel the love of all the people that are here. God bless these gals the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can each can have a book for $5 to give to anybody, and I'll sign them all. Oh. And so then she contacted me having a day with her when he was about 7:50. He came home from school in the afternoon and he says, oh, I don't have anything to do. I'm going to watch television. I'm going to go cartwheeling and I'm going to skateboarding and I have anything to do. So he did all afternoon. He did all these things and then he had dinner and then he went up to bed. And so she and her husband were going to bed that night around 11 o'clock. They were watching a Carson program, Leno program. And she said, all of a sudden we looked at the top of the stairs and here's this little kid standing there in his pajamas. And he said, I just remembered 11 o'clock at night. I just remembered I have to make a salt map of Venezuela for tomorrow. Well, it wasn't the father's problem. He went up to bed. I mean, you don't see many men up at 11 o'clock making a salt map of Venezuela. So he went to bed. And the mother, here she was so upset with that kid. All afternoon he had skateboarded and fooled around and done nothing, watched TV. And here she's up at 11 o'clock looking for Venezuela, out in the garage looking for a cardboard, looking for the salt. You know how it is. We've all done it. And she was so mad at that kid, what she's doing. And she looked over at him and he said, Mom, are we making a memory now? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Romans 8:3. Now, that's my favorite verse. Nothing can separate us from God's love. There is nothing, no circumstance, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God and past Christ right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment. But as I refuse to become panicky, I lift up my eyes to him and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my own heart. No trial will ever disarm me. No circumstances will cause me to fret. For I shall rest in the joy of what the Lord is. And that is the rest of victory. When you can say that prayer of relinquishment, whatever, Lord, whatever comes into your life has come through his filter. That relieves you of this constant anxiety and constant fear of what's going to happen. What are you going to do? Just say like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that's been the answer for me. Learning to say whatever, Lord, instead of why me? Why did I lose two sons? Why did my third son disappear? Why? And when I quit saying why me, and I just said, you know, whatever, Lord, sort of laying flat on the tracks, whatever, Lord, then you're able to cope with whatever comes into your life because you know it's come through his filter. Some time back I did a program in Chicago. It was a two-hour talk show and people call in. You never know who's going to call in. You answer all these questions which you don't know anyway. Try to make sense out of it. And so after 2 hours, I could see I only had 3 minutes left. Oh, wow. Get off this program. That would be great. You know. And then I heard this host saying, it's a television show, I heard him saying, now Barbara has something she wants to say to encourage all of you 8 million people that are watching. And Barbara, I was the only one up there, you know. And he looked at me and smiled like I was supposed to say something. I'd already said everything. I showed my cards and I didn't have anything to say. And he keeps smiling and the camera was on me and I said, oh, I couldn't think of my name. I couldn't think of John 3:16. I mean, you got all these million people watching and I'm supposed to say something encouraging? And I had one sign that I hadn't used because it wasn't appropriate, so I hadn't used it. And I said, well, there's one thing I want to say to encourage all you millions of people out there, and this is it. Life is hard, and then you die. And he looked at me kind of strange.
And I said, but see, to me, life is hard, but this isn't it. This isn't it. We're going to be out of here. My little granddaughter said, you should say life is hard and then you get to die. And that's a wonderful, because this is just a transient time for us, and it's not going to be, and as a Christian, we have an endless hope, not a hopeless end. And there was an epithet on Mel Blanc, who was the voice of Porky Pig, and the epithet said, that's all, folks. But see, that isn't it for Christians. This is only the beginning. And we get to heaven. This is only the beginning of eternity. And so I was really excited, thinking, wow, life is hard, but we're not going to be here. Well, I got off the program, and he looked at me like, oh, how did you think of that? And then the lights were all lit up with people wanting to talk to the lady that thinks it's so wonderful to die. Not that it's so wonderful to die, but that's the only way out of here, unless he comes for us. And so it's the expectancy of knowing that whatever we're going through now is only temporary, it's not going to last, and we have all the future ahead. It's like we're living in a parenthesis, and someday God can kick out the end of that parenthesis, and we're going to be with him forever. And how exciting as a Christian to know that we have that endless hope, not a hopeless end. When I see other people going through problems that don't know the Lord and don't have that confidence that we have, I don't know how they make it. I mean, it's hard enough if you have the Lord. You know, it's not easy. But if you don't have that victory and you don't have that, then people are really void and their life can be so lonely. You're a good audience. You laughed a lot today. I think you probably burned up a lot of calories from laughing. Let's pray a minute. Our Father, we're thankful for these women that came here today. We just pray that the laughter has encouraged their hearts, has filled their hearts and lifted them up. They're able to cope with some of the areas of their own life where they're having special struggles and special needs. We just pray that your blessing would be on the remainder of this conference, and not on the speakers, and also on all those that are here that have brought others that need to be lifted and that need that encouragement, that we could instill them with some of the joy and the hope that you've given us. Bless the rest of the day and as they go to their next session, in Jesus' name. Amen.